Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden era. Mark Levonier, your host for This Hour of Horror, later on Inner Sanctum from 1948, but first a broadcast of dark fantasy called Rendezvous with Satan, an NBC broadcast from May 29th, 1942.
Good people, let us remember him who has passed, not for what he was, not for what he did, but because he was, as all of us are, a temple of God. Let us remember that this which is about to return to common clay was molded from common clay. Today we gather here to pay our last tribute this now still flesh, lying here before us clothed in the coldness of death. Let us always remember. Let us always remember.
Did you see him? Move his hands. Move his hand up toward his head.
Madam, please.
Now, surely you're mistaken. I distinctly saw his hand move. He couldn't have. Carl. Carl. Oh, my darling.
What's happened to me?
Just lie still, Carl Fisher. This craft is most fragile.
Where am I?
Where would you be after death?
Death? You say death?
Yes.
Am I dead?
They have your body in a church, Carl. Imagine you in a church.
No. No, you're mistaken. This is no church. I'm right here.
Apparently you are, yes. But we are most careful when we bring you here. We take every precaution to relieve the shock.
Shock?
Of finding yourself in the midst of fire and brimstone.
Hot. It's so hot.
You get used to it.
Where am I?
Your soul is here with me. Your body is back on earth. At present, resting within a satin-lined coffin.
Coffin?
Yes. They're soon going to place you within a tomb.
Oh, I don't believe you.
Don't you? Personally, makes no difference to me whether you do or not. But for your own satisfaction, suppose you feel for yourself.
What?
Yes. Reach up with your right hand. Feel the casket lining by your head. Go right ahead. There. You see?
Yes. But I'm lying in the bottom of a boat.
Only your soul is.
This is some trick. The boat is satin lined.
I'll admit, Carl Fisher, I am generally most concerned about my own comfort. But as far as lining one of my boats with satin, no. I fear that would be too much, even for Satan.
Satan?
Yes. Here, let me prove to you the boat is not cloth-lined. There, you see?
You devil.
That's irony.
You are a devil.
Yes, I am. But not just a devil.
The devil. You mean I'm really dead?
One never dies, Carl. The common clay perishes, yes. But only the common clay.
Let me out of here.
I'm sorry. You see, you can't move until I permit you to.
But I moved my hand a moment ago. Felt the lining near my head.
That's because I wished you to. Nothing is done here unless I order it done.
Then I am dead.
Only your body. It might interest you to know you caused quite a commotion up there a moment ago when you interrupted your funeral oration by suddenly moving in your casket. Yes, quite a commotion. Only two people saw you. One of them was a woman. You frightened her, Carl. But they've taken her away now.
You mean my body actually is being preached over?
Oh, yes. Indeed, yes. You were a prominent man on Earth, Carl. Naturally, yours is a most elegant funeral. So many flowers, half of them could be brought into the church. People standing outside, on the sidewalk even.
Is Laura there?
Your wife? Oh, certainly. Where else would she be?
A church, you say?
Yes. Amazes you, doesn't it? You haven't been in a church for 35 years. You wouldn't even permit your daughter to be buried from a church, Carl. But she went to heaven. Anyway.
Stop it, stop it.
Do you remember Reverend Brooks, Carl? He married you, remember? Today, he's officiating at your funeral.
No, no.
Would you like to hear what he's saying, Carl? Listen.
If Carl Fisher has brought tragedy into our lives, let us remember that out of tragedy, good can arise. Soon that tragedy will be forgotten. But let us never forget Carl Fisher. Let us remember him always as a Christian.
You hear, Carl? A Christian, he says.
Stop. Stop that voice.
Listen, Carl.
Let us pray for him often and ask Almighty God to grant him pardon. Let us be generous towards him, that finally the Supreme Ruler may in turn be generous towards us.
No. No, stop him. Stop him. I don't want to hear anymore.
Did you hear what he said, Carl? He asked your friends, your family, your wife, to forget your evil, to remember only what was good about you. Yes, Carl. But that leaves them nothing to remember.
Oh, let me alone.
No, Carl. They've nothing to remember. Because there was nothing about you that was good.
I didn't have a chance.
Chance? You say you didn't have a chance?
Certainly not.
Well, I don't want to waste my breath by pointing out the chances you did have.
I was forced into everything that happened. Forced, I say.
Were you?
Certainly I was.
Haven't you ever heard of free will?
Free will? Free will, you say? I haven't had a will of my own in the last 30 years.
Haven't you, Carl?
No. You know I haven't. I knew I was doing wrong. Sure, I knew it. I'd never have made my millions by being any other way.
Your millions. Did you enjoy them, Carl?
I was just beginning to when...
When I took charge of you. Is that it?
Yes.
Your millions aren't worth much here.
Where am I?
Certainly you haven't lost your imagination. Where would you be? With fire on all sides and the smell of brimstone. And with me as your pilot on the river Styx.
Styx?
You remember. It's our largest river.
Where are you taking me?
I have a special assignment for you, Mr. Fisher. We have a certain reserved space for members like you down here.
Inferno. Tell me. Am I in Hades?
Does that surprise you?
No. No, I can't be. I didn't want to die. I wanted to do what was right, but I couldn't.
You didn't try.
I was going to try.
You've done nothing but evil for 30 years. You couldn't change now.
I could, I tell you, I could.
No, Carl.
I'll make a bargain with you, Satan.
Bargain? No one makes bargains with Satan.
Give me a chance. Let me go back. Let me live my life over. I'll change. I swear I will.
You'd never change.
I will. I will. Let me go back. Let me show you. Let me prove I can do what's right.
All right, Carl. I'll bargain with you. It would at least relieve the dull monotony.
You give me a chance?
Yes, for 24 hours.
Only 24 hours?
Yes. Do nothing but good for 24 hours, and I'll not return to claim you. But if you fail...
I won't fail. I won't.
It's up to you, Carl. It's entirely up to you. But remember, only 24 hours. Only 24 hours, Carl.
You really shouldn't have come tonight, Laura. You should rest.
I know. But I couldn't rest. Poor Carl. He needed someone so badly those last few days. And I was away. Never dreaming what was happening.
You mustn't blame yourself, Laura.
Oh, I can't help it. I feel I deserted my husband. Just when a man needs his wife most. There'll come a time, Dr. West, when I'll be afraid to come out here to the mausoleum. I wanted to come tonight to tell him goodbye.
Goodbye?
Yes. I loved my husband, David. Despite everything he did, he was the only one I ever cared for.
Here, my dear, I have the key. I say, Laura, it's not locked.
But I saw you lock it after the services this afternoon.
I did lock it. I'd swear I did.
Open the door.
Yes.
Do you have a light?
Yes. Pocket flash. There.
Oh, David.
Empty. The casket's empty.
David, for heaven's sakes, what's happened here?
I don't know, but Carl always said he'd come back.
What?
Yes. He told me once he had no fear of death, because he knew he could always make a deal with Satan.
Carl told you that?
Yes. I laughed at him at the time, but now I wonder. I'd better go now, Laura. Sure you're feeling all right?
Yes, I know I won't sleep tonight.
You can relax. I can send you out a nurse if you like.
Oh, no. No, I'd rather be alone.
Well, if you need me, please don't hesitate to call.
Thank you, David.
Good night, my dear.
Good night, David. And thank you so much for being such a dear.
I'll call you in the morning.
Good night.
That's strange. Yes. I'm not hearing things. That's an electric razor running. But it can't be. There's no one in the apartment but myself. Carl. 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 Carl!
Yes, my dear, did you call me?
Carl.
Yes, Laura, what is it?
Carl, are you really there?
What do you mean, am I really here? Of course I'm here. Heavens, I was right in the middle of my shaving.
Oh, no.
Laura, what's the matter with you? Why'd you call me?
No, Carl, please don't come any closer, please.
The world's gotten into you all of a sudden.
Darling, is it really you?
Really, me? Now, what are you talking about?
Carl, don't you know?
Don't I know what?
We buried you this afternoon. Carl, don't look at me like that.
Buried me?
Yes. Oh, darling, what's happened? Tell me what's happened.
I don't know. Something's wrong.
Carl.
My head. Twirling. Dizzy. I don't remember what happened.
Oh, darling, you're alive. Warm. Breathing.
Yes, but I seem to have been away. It was so hot. There was a boat on a river. And a satin-lined casket and... Oh, Laura.
Darling, darling, you did come back. Dr. West said you would.
Dr. West?
Yes, David. He said you told him once you'd come back after... after you'd gone on.
Laura. I have been dead, haven't I?
Yes, Carl.
I remember now. I was sitting at my desk. Sitting alone at night in my office. And then something happened.
You were shot. The back of the neck.
Everything stopped. The next thing I knew, I was riding in the bottom of a boat lined with silk. No. That wasn't the boat that was lined. It was the casket. He told me to move my hand and I'd feel it.
Who, Carl? Who told you?
It was the devil.
Carl.
Yeah. I died. Went to Hades. But I bargained with Satan. I bargained with him. He took me up. Gave me 24 hours. 24 hours.
Darling. Darling, I don't understand.
24 hours to prove I could do good here on Earth.
Oh, is it true? Can it be real?
Yes, it is true. It's real.
I can't believe it. Things like this just don't happen.
This happened.
But Carl, how?
I made a bargain, I tell you. A bargain with Satan. And I have a rendezvous to keep with him. In 24 hours.
I'm so confused, Carl. If only... Who could that be?
I'll go see.
Oh, no. It's anyone we know. They won't understand. You go back into the bedroom, dear. I'll see who it is.
But the world's got to know sometime.
Oh, people will know soon enough. Please, dear. I'm too upset for a scene to try to explain to anyone tonight.
All right, my dear, if you wish.
Thank you, darling. Just a moment. David.
I had to come back, Laura. I couldn't stay away.
David, please.
Forgive me, dearest. But I've waited so long.
David, please go.
No. Not until I've talked to you.
Some other time.
I can't wait any longer, Laura. It's not fair for you to ask me to.
Not fair?
You know I love you, Laura. You've known it for months, years.
David.
You have known, haven't you?
Yes, but...
I've waited so long to have the right to tell you about my love. Now, I know it's not right to come to you on the night of your husband's funeral and say these things, but I must know, Laura. I must know.
I have nothing to say to you, David, nothing.
I know you were always madly in love with that criminal of a husband of yours, but that's over now. You'll have to forget him. Oh, remember, darling, you're a young woman yet. Your life is still ahead of you. You can't go on carrying a torch for someone who cared more about making $1 million than making you happy.
Please, David, don't say that.
I have a right to say it. Now, I've kept it in check all of these years, waiting and hoping. And now Carl is dead. Do you hear me? Dead. Dead. You belong to me now.
No, David. Not now or ever.
Yes. Yes, I say. You're mine. If anyone has a right to you, I have. After everything I've done to get you.
Will you go now, David?
Oh, Laura, Laura, I need you. Oh, Laura, please, sir, you'll marry me.
No, David. I'll never marry you.
But I know you care for me. I could make you learn to love me.
No, never. I've had nothing for you, David, but friendship. I'll never have more.
I know that's not true.
Don't say that.
It's not. You do care for me. I could tell by the way you kissed me. That's when I first began building my hopes.
Kissed you? When did I kiss you?
You haven't forgotten. The party in my penthouse. None more than 3 months ago.
Your birthday party.
Yes.
All the girls kissed you that night. If you'll remember, we even made a sort of game out of it. Lined up like a bunch of high school girls to compliment our host.
Yes, but you meant more than just a compliment that night.
You imagined.
Oh, no.
I kissed you just like the others. In full sight of my husband. And I might add, to his complete amusement.
Carl wasn't in the room. You waited until he'd left before you got into line.
Oh, nonsense, David.
No. I knew that night you cared for me. That's when I began planning to make you mine.
David, will you please go?
Not until you've told me you'll marry me.
I've told you I won't.
There's someone else.
Only my husband.
Someone else. Someone who's alive.
Please go, David.
What's that?
I want you to go.
What was that? In that other room?
Nothing.
What are you...
Nothing at all.
What are you doing?
I don't want you to ever come back here, David.
What are you doing?
I'm locking this door. I'm in no mood to have you go ransacking my place.
There's someone in that room.
David.
So, you couldn't wait until your husband was safely buried. Couldn't wait.
David.
Well, he won't have you. You hear me? He won't have you.
David. Please go now.
Very well. But I'm telling you this, Laura. He won't have you. Whoever he is, he'll never have you. I promise you that.
Carl? You heard?
Yes.
Well?
Go ahead, Carl. She's been having an affair behind your back, hasn't she? She deserves to be killed, doesn't she? Well, go ahead and kill her.
I don't have to tell you, Carl. I've never cared for him.
Go ahead, Carl. Kill her. She's lying, don't you think?
No one but you, darling. Ever.
I can still tempt you, Carl. That's my job. That's how I keep my fires burning.
I know you believe me, Carl.
No. Don't believe her. She's never lied to you before, but there's always a first time.
Darling, please don't stand there looking at me. Say something.
She wants you to say something. Well, go ahead. Say something.
Darling.
It's all right, dearest. I believe you. What people will say when I walk out into the world again.
Carl, don't you think it would be best for us to go away quietly? Someplace where we'd never be recognized?
No, Laura. I have a bargain to fulfill. Only until 3 this afternoon.
You'll spend that time with me then?
I'm sorry, I can't. There's more to be done than probably either of us imagine.
Where are you going?
To the office first.
I'll go with you.
No, dear. I'll come back to you before I leave you again to keep my rendezvous with Satan. Good morning, Miss Walling.
Good morning, Mr. Fisher. You're early this morning, Mr. Fisher. Mr. Fisher.
Confounded girl. How she'll make a scene. I'll spend all morning explaining. And nothing doing. I'll lock myself in the office. West.
Come in, Carl. I've been waiting for you.
Sitting in my chair. At my desk.
Yes. This is your gun, I believe.
What's the meaning of this?
I'm prepared to make a bargain with you.
Bargain?
Yes. You died without leaving a will. I have one here dated 3 months before your death. Sign it, the business becomes mine. And I'll permit you to take away half of your $7 million and Laura.
You permit me?
Yes. You couldn't operate your business now. People wouldn't want to do business with a dead man.
Do I look dead to you?
Don't be facetious. I'm serious. I know all about what happened to you. When I came back to see Laura last night, I heard you talking before I pushed the buzzer. I don't understand it all, But I'm prepared to give Laura up for your business and half your cash.
You killed me.
What?
You killed me.
Fisher, keep back.
I see it clearly now. I see now that Laura wasn't lying to me last night. She's never cared for you.
I warn you, keep back, Fisher.
I remember what you said to her. You said, if anyone has a right to you, Laura, I have. After everything I've done to get you.
This gun is loaded, Carl.
Yes, I see it all clearly now.
Stay back. Stay away from me.
The night she kissed you at the party. Remember what you said about that last night? That was the night you began planning to make her yours.
If you come any nearer, I'll shoot.
I'm not going to harm you, Dr. West.
You'd like to get your hands on this gun. You'd like to kill me, wouldn't you?
Kill you? No, I can't kill you. I've made a bargain not to.
Then keep back.
I could kill you, though. I've been proclaimed legally dead, you know. You can't hang a dead man.
Keep back. One step farther and I'll shoot.
I told you I don't intend to harm
you. Stop where you are.
I just want you to take a good look at me,
Stop.
Doctor.
Stop. Not one step farther. Not one step farther.
Laura.
Oh, darling, are you hurt?
It's nothing.
He shot you, Carl.
Laura, that gun in your hand.
I followed you here. I don't know why I brought the gun.
You killed him.
Oh, darling.
Give it to me.
No.
Give it to me. Give it to me.
Carl, you must get to a doctor.
No. Look at the clock. No time for a doctor.
You hurt badly.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Give me that gun.
Carl.
Give it to me. There. Now they'll think we shot each other.
Carl. 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 Oh, my darling. My darling.
You have won your bargain, Carl Fisher. There's no place here for you now.
Dark Fantasy, untuned to yesterday, an NBC episode from May 29, 1942, the second to last surviving in that series. At the time of that broadcast, if you were in Chicago, you could have also tuned in to the Dance Cavalcade, news on WGN, a missing persons search program on WSBC, or the Treasury Star Parade on WGES at 11 o'clock. This is an hour of horror, untuned to yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Up next, Inner Sanctum, with the story Murder Takes a Honeymoon, an Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast of the CBS episode first heard on July 26, 1948.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum. This is your host to welcome you through the squeaking door. Say, do you ever find that you can't get a certain face out of your mind? Until you do, you're out of your mind. Like me and a guy named Joe, for instance. I ran into Joe accidentally the other day, over at the city morgue. And Joe's been haunting me ever since. I can't get over the smug way he deadpanned me, and then gave me the old cold shoulder routine. I don't want to cry, baby, but I dug down plenty time and again to keep Joe from going under. But no gratitude. No gratitude at all from Joe. Mister, I'm finished with Joe for keeps.
Tonight's Inner Sanctum mystery, Murder Takes a Honeymoon, was written by John Robert and stars Everett Sloan in the role of George with Ann Shepherd as Mary.
And now for tonight's free lesson in how to improve your scream. Ever get that folksy, woodsy feeling until you're in an absolute frenzy to get away from it all and go native? Well, our honeymooning couple tonight got the urge until they found that living in the country was simply murder. To rhyme it, our twosome found it positively gruesome. stand by and we'll demonstrate. We're on a milk train somewhere in the east, huffing through the rock and rubble of desolated whistle-stop country. The yellow train lights blink eerily. The hour is sometime between night and morning. One car holds just a young couple. They huddle closely, half asleep, as the train groans into another of its interminable stops.
Ravenwood! Entering Ravenwood! Next stop, Lewiston! Ravenwood!
George, I've heard him say Lewiston.
No, Ravenwood. Lewiston's next.
Oh,
there must be a million of these one-horse towns. What's eating you, Mary? You look like you've just been declared an orphan.
I feel like an orphan, George. It's cold. I'm hungry. So far from home.
We're heading home, kid. At the next stop, there's a farm. More land than you can cover in a day, and it's all yours. Wedding gift from me to you.
I'm sorry, but the country's not for me. I'm a big city girl.
Oh, give it a try, huh? Come on, smile.
George, I'm frightened.
Of me?
I don't know. You've suddenly changed. Buying a farm, packing up without warning, and leaving New York. And all in such a hurry.
I'm an impulsive kid. That's how I married you, remember? I dated you blind, waltzed you around once, and boom, on an impulse, I hustled you to City Hall. I bought the farm the same way.
The way it happened, it's as if you were running away from something.
Running to something, kid. I'm tired of the creeps and the phonies and the crumbs. I'm tired of stale beer, cheap movies, and crowds. Ah, okay, skip it. I'm thirsty. You want me to fetch you a drink?
No, thanks.
All right, I'll be back in a minute.
George! George!
Hey, what gives?
George!
Hey, you got the jitters.
There was a hand out there in the darkness, reaching toward me through the window.
What? Oh, kid, your imagination's gone crazy. You're overtired.
George, look.
What's that?
An envelope. Someone dropped it on my lap. It fell to the floor.
Give it to me.
What does it say?
A crank note. Some country idiot's playing Black Hand.
Let me read it. We don't like strangers in Lewiston, especially New Yorkers. Better be smart and read the train schedule back. There's a return train schedule attached to it.
Oh, you look as if you're already on that train back. You scare easy, huh?
How did anyone know we were coming?
Well, that's easy. The real estate man who sold me Rain Tree Farms no doubt stuck the item in the local papers. Ah, come on, shrug it off as a crackpot practical joke.
A joke? You really want me to believe that someone drove 10 miles in the middle of the night to warn us off? Just to be funny? I'm laughing.
Lewiston! Lewiston!
Come on, Mary. Grab that other suitcase. Come on, step on it, kid.
Watch your step.
All right, easy does it.
So deserted, George.
Yeah, everybody's asleep.
Well, what'll we do?
Come on, we'll camp under that station shed. It's 9 miles out to Rain Tree Farms, and we'll need somebody to drive us there.
I may what? Do that.
Oh.
Drive you out. Waiting half the night for you.
Who are you?
Ben Marsh. Lizzie's parked to the side of that shed.
You said you've been waiting for me?
I did. I'm your neighbor. My shack's just around the bend from Rain Tree Farms. Thought you and the lady'd be glad not to spend the night in the weather.
Yeah, we're glad, all right, but how did you know we were coming?
I read in the papers you bought the old place.
But why tonight? Why not last night or tomorrow? How did you know I was coming tonight?
I've been waiting last night. If you didn't come tonight, I'd watch for you tomorrow. The time ain't worth the leaking bucket. You coming?
Yeah, sure. Come on, Mary.
Here's a busy son. Ready to light my pipe and we'll be going. Bring your face to the light, son. I seen you before, ain't I?
I don't think so.
You never been around Raintree Farms?
No, I've never seen the place.
Funny, you should buy it then. Nobody's tried living in Raintree Farm now in 2 years.
Why?
Some say that it's haunted. Some say there's a black curse in the house.
You keep asking questions, kid. He'll have you seeing ghosts coming out of the chimney.
Not ghosts, son, but corpses.
Corpses.
The last couple that tried living in Raintree Corners lay dead in the parlor floor. I seen him with my own eyes. Dead. Nobody ever found out what killed him. Now, the Milder Raintree Farms, folks.
Go on, kid. Grab yourself 40 winks.
I can't. I daren't close my eyes. George, what was that?
Stop the car. It was a bullet. Someone put the hot shot at me.
Missed you by inches.
Check. Almost a bullseye. Somebody's no slouch with a rifle. What's the angle on this, Myers?
Can't say. Except that shooting comes naturally to these parts. This is hunting country.
In the middle of the night, in the dark?
Oh, night's light enough for shooting. Folks around here'd rather shoot than sleep.
I'm not swallowing that. Somebody tried to kill me.
That's a pretty big idea, son.
Yeah, well, the idea's even bigger. I figure maybe someone waited along that road in ambush and you fingered me. Maybe that's why you waited around all hours at the depot. You were to drive me to my murder.
There they are, folks. Raintree Farms. House is up that walk.
All right, hand me the luggage, Mary.
Yes. Thanks for the lift.
Your young man ain't thanking me. His head's busy turning with big ideas. Goodbye, son. I'll be coming around, maybe. There's some more of your big ideas.
Look, if I ever see you around here, I'll shoot you full of holes on sight for trespassing.
George.
Yeah?
About that shot on the road coming here, why would anyone want to murder you? You're a stranger.
To keep me away from Raintree Farms, I guess.
But why, if you own it?
Why is a big letter, kid.
George, you're concealing something. Who are you?
George Stretch, your husband.
A stranger to me until 10 days ago. Who are you, really?
Oh, look, kid, you're letting some local crackpot give you the willies. Mary, a guy said something about for better or for worse just before I slipped a ring on your finger. Was it all a lot of idle talk?
No, George. I meant it deep down. I'm sorry.
That's more like it. What do you say we forget the spook stuff and hit the sack, huh? Coming?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, this joint sure needs a loving touch.
And a coat of paint.
Now to find the key. Wrong key. The real estate office mailed me 5 different keys.
George.
Now what?
Somebody's inside. I see a moving light.
Yeah. And footsteps coming to the door.
What are you after, mister?
Well, I was trying to get in. What's the shotgun for?
Protection. You need it, yeah. I've seen you somewhere before, haven't I?
No, you haven't. I've never been somewhere.
Who are you?
I'm George Stretch. This is my wife. We're the new owners. Who are you?
Parker. Willis Parker.
I mean, what are you doing here?
Squatting. What?
You broke in.
No. I moved in.
Just like that?
Uh-huh. Abandoned place, loaded down with county tax warrants. I bought a tax warrant and I'm in.
I don't get it.
Squatter's rights. Go see a lawyer.
You mean you won't get out?
That's right.
On what grounds?
Look, fella. Right now, I've got possession of the premises. That's a big chunk of the law around here. And I'm not going to stand out here in the dark arguing it out with you. Now, beat it, fella. And take your valises and the dame. You're trespassing.
Now, this is a trick to turn me back.
Throw arguing with you. Start moving. The next one goes right in your breadbasket, fella. And keep going.
Mary.
Yes, George.
Head for the deep shadows and then drop to your knees and flatten out quick. I'm sick and tired of being shot at.
George, put that gun away.
Down, I said. I'm not heading back with my tail between my legs. Bullseye for me. Who was it that said this was a shooting country?
He's dead.
Oh, gee, I just meant to nick him.
But you killed him in cold blood.
In self-defense. He was planning to tail us down the road and blow us to Kingdom Come.
George, you're making that up. Just as an afterthought.
Am I, kid? Who do you suppose took that shot at us driving up here? And that couple found mysteriously dead, the couple old Myers mentioned. Who do you suppose killed them?
I want the whole truth. Why were you marked for murder?
I said why was a big letter. You got to ditch Parker somewhere.
Ditch him?
Hide him to protect ourselves, then forget that it ever happened and go about our business.
You're not going to the police?
No, I'm going about my business, I said.
George, what are you afraid of?
You got me confused with the answer, man.
I've got to know or I'll lose my mind. Both Ben Myers and Parker thought they recognized you. You have been here before.
Never, I swear, never. They had me confused with somebody else. I'll play along my way for a while. My way is the only way, Mary. Any other way is no good. I'll get that kerosene lamp and follow along. I'm giving Parker's squatter's rights to the first big ditch I find. He'll stay put now. Oh, come on, kid. Dry your eyes. You gotta take the breaks as they come and play along, for better or for worse.
For better or worse? Murder and burial. How far can we get together now?
As far as the house, anyhow. That's as far as I want to get. And I don't care how stiff the price is. You get it, Mary? I don't care. All right, now set the lamp on that table, Mary. And stop staring at me as if I was some kind of a man-eating monster. You're getting on my nerves.
I'm sorry, George.
All right, that's better. Look around you. What do you see?
The room is a wreck.
Check and double check. The paneling's ripped out. The floorboards are up. Someone started taking the fireplace apart brick by brick. My property buy doesn't look so good, huh?
George.
What?
What does it mean?
Vandals always have a field day with an abandoned property.
No, it means something else.
Check, kid. Parker holed up here looking for something.
And you're looking for something, too.
You're catching on, kid.
That's why we're in this forsaken country. That's why you were marked for murder. What are you looking for, George?
A couple of things. One of them is a stiff. A fresh-faced kid who called himself Johnny Morrow came out here about 2 years ago. He was never seen again. Alive. And you know why, Mary?
Why?
Because he's still here. My kid brother never left this house. Alive or dead. Whoever bricked up this fireplace bricked it up to keep.
George, if you find your brother, what then?
Then I go right for item number two. The jackpot.
The jackpot?
Do-re-mi, cash. Money piled as high as the Empire State. We parlay the corpse into a fortune. Yeah, that does it. Hole's big enough to drive a truck through. Bring that lamp over. Closer. Closer, you dummy!
Yes, George.
See what I see?
Yes.
Walled in as if he was part of the building layout. Meet your brother-in-law, Mary. All right. help me drag him out.
Yes, George.
Set him down over here. When he was a kid, he always came running to me when he got into a jam. It was a year's difference, but we were lookalikes.
That's why the old man and Parker thought they'd seen you before.
Jack, they'd seen Johnny.
Who killed your brother?
His partner, a hoodlum named Wiley. Johnny and Wiley had pulled a payroll stick-up, a $50,000 job. Wiley tried to double-cross Johnny. Johnny holed up here with the payroll money. Wiley trailed Johnny out here, tortured him for weeks, and then killed him.
Why did Wiley torture Johnny?
To find out where Johnny had stashed the money. But Johnny never told him. Johnny knew his goose was cooked anyway.
How did you find out these things?
Johnny smuggled a letter out addressed to me through old Ben Myers. The letter said nothing, but said a lot. Small talk, everyday brother stuff. Wrapped around two key words. The words were, search me. Yeah. As kids, we used to play treasure hunt with maps we made up and sewed in the lining of our clothes. A dollar gets you a thousand that Johnny has a map sewn in his clothes. Now you don't have to ask why anymore, kid.
But
what?
Who was Parker? The man we found here?
A crook who hung around with Wiley.
And all the time that's elapsed, why didn't you come here sooner?
I was busy looking for Wiley for 2 years, across the country and back again, in South America, Mexico. Wiley was always one jump ahead of me. I caught up with him a month ago in Tampico.
You caught up with him? Well, what did you do?
I gave him a dose of what he gave Johnny. And then I killed him. You'd have lost that dollar bet, kid. Same trick we had as kids. Yeah, a map inside his coat lining.
You can read it.
Sure, like the ABC. The dough is buried in a can 5 steps from the back door to the barn. Ah, the dough is practically in my hand.
George, you'll have to give the money back.
Back? Huh? And give myself up with it, huh?
Yes, if you can find the courage.
And tell Johnny he died like a chump for nothing. And tell myself I was just a sentimental sap dogging it after Wiley right into Tampico. And maybe get down on my knees in front of that ditch out there and apologize to Park if I haven't put a slug in him.
George, you're out of your mind.
Out of my mind if I listen to you. I'll lend a hand. Grab Parker's shotgun and watch for intruders while I dig that can up. And then I'll bury Johnny right on the same spot. Yeah, I'll bury Johnny right where he stashed those 50 G's for his big brother to come and get. Clink is the jackpot. Like music, eh, Mary? Listen to it. Now, look. You see the money, Mary? Green as grass. Just as I dreamed of it for 2 years. Just as Johnny and I dreamed of it as kids. Green money, green as grass. And nothing under 100. Did you ever see a bankroll with nothing under 100 before, Mary? Did you?
No, George.
This is, I can recollect. Ain't either, son.
What?
I seen small change. $5 bill once. I ain't ever seen $100 before.
What are you doing here, Ben?
Rejoicing with you, son. I've been waiting and watching a long time for one of you to find that money. That I knew was hid somewhere around here. And I'm an old man. Very much time for me to enjoy my share.
How much is your share?
I was calculating on a quarter, maybe. And I saw you put Parker away. Right now, I'm calculating on, say, half.
And what are you calculating on doing with half?
I don't know, for sure. Treat myself to something good. Maybe buy myself some more land. What do you say, son?
You made yourself a deal, Pop. I'm going to give you all the land you need.
You're aiming to kill me.
George, no!
I got to, Mary. I'm not killing you, old man. When you came visiting just now, you committed suicide. Get up against that tree and turn around.
Maybe if I go back to calculating the quarter...
I said you committed suicide. I'll bury you with a $100 bill in your hand so you can treat yourself to something good where you're going. Ready?
I said you was a winner, son. Guess I'm a loser.
So long, sucker. Oh, 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 oh.
Mary, you fool, you shot me.
I had to do it, George. I had to save you from yourself.
You silly fool. I was going to make you a queen.
No, George. It wouldn't have been that way. After Ben, you would have had to kill me. You see, no power on earth would make me go your way. And no power on earth would make you go mine.
You saved my life, Mom. How can an old idiot ever thank you?
By going to the police. My husband has a confession to make.
Poor Mary. It got so she couldn't see the trees for the bodies. You know, until tonight, I thought only Santa Claus came through the fireplace. Well, I guess everybody's doubling up everywhere nowadays. Like George. Mary's bullet left him doubled up. Still, that was a good choice of location. The fireplace for a corpse. Sort of, how to keep from growing cold.
Inner Sanctum, on Tuned to Yesterday from July 26th, 1948 on CBS. And so closes this hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.